if I was going to get into a business I didn't know a lot about. Starting a blog or really continuing a blog would be really daunting because there's a lot of opportunity to waste a bunch of time and money there. You can write a bunch of articles about things people don't care about, but it's really hard to have a podcast that's bad, if you will, in a space you don't know a lot about, because you just go interview people and ask them interesting questions. And what they have to say is the content. It's not what you have to say. It's what the people you have coming on your show have to say. So I'd say for people looking to or who have acquired a business that might be a little out of their wheelhouse, just start a podcast, interview the thought leaders from that space, and you have like the nexus of all the really interesting content for your audience. And you, as the new owner, know exactly what's so important to everybody in that space.
Welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Since 2007, Quiet Light Brokerage has been helping thousands of online entrepreneurs realize their dream of buying and selling online businesses. And now, we're bringing all the knowledge our team has acquired straight to you. No matter your niche or industry, these lessons, tips, and strategies will help you build, grow, acquire, or sell your online businesses better. And now, here's Joe and Mark.
So Mark, today's episode, we're going to talk about why someone should start a podcast. Stutter. Chris, edit that.
Chris, don't edit that. Just keep that in there.
Yes, let's keep it in because, folks, this is about podcasting, and I was going to ask Mark a question. Oh, man, somebody put something in my coffee this morning. It's freezing my tongue. I put Kahlua in my coffee. It's a northern thing. Do you have to be well-spoken, intelligent, and an expert on the subject matter to start a podcast? Of course, the key is to have a successful podcast to build an audience and a brand and a reputation. But what do you think? Do you have to have all of that to really begin?
No, absolutely not. And look, at the risk of narrowcasting and just talking about what we're doing here, which is running a podcast, I thought it would be interesting to have Craig Hewitt on the podcast here. Craig owns Podcast Motor. They do the editing for all of the Quiet Light podcast episodes. He also has a podcast hosting service, Castos.com, which he recently started. He's an entrepreneur, cut of the same cloth that all of us are made of, right? He likes to start, he likes to buy, he likes to grow businesses, and living in France, actually. He's an expat living in France, so a pretty cool backstory there, which unfortunately we didn't have time to get into. But I wanted to talk to him about why anyone who's out there looking to buy or even grow your business and create something really unique and special might want to consider adding podcasting to the mix. And look, I get it. We're looking a little bit at our own experience here and how beneficial the Quiet Light podcast has been to Quiet Light Brokerage. But I asked Craig this question. Joe, I'm going to ask you and put you on the spot here again, like I do on a third of these intros. I try and ask you a question that we didn't prep for. If you're looking at a business for sale and it's got 30,000 email subscribers, okay, that's one option. And then there's another business in the exact same niche, but they have 15,000 podcast downloads per month. Where do you put more value, in your opinion?
Oh, without a doubt, on the 15,000, because those people are listening, they're hearing your voice, and they feel like they know you already. We've gone to events where people have come up and said hello, and they joke and they say, I feel like I know you. I've heard Mike Jackness talk about that as well. But I think the number one thing that this podcast has done for us, and John Corcoran was a guest on the podcast as well, where we talked about networking and how important it is to a business. And I think if you're a business owner, if you're launching your own products, if you're a SaaS product owner, you just look to prior examples of huge podcast success like Michael Jackness or Scott Volker, for instance. Scott's got 250,000 people that listen to him every month. You network and learn things from the people that you network with to grow your business and grow your brand. And I think it's invaluable, and it blows away the email. Although the email is something specific and different because you're probably trying to sell a product right then and there. I think on the podcast, you're talking about the bigger picture in your brand. If you're a SaaS business owner, I think it's a great idea because you can talk about what updates you've got to your product and the market in general. But I love the podcasting, and obviously I'm not very well spoken or eloquent. So if we can do it, anybody can.
That's right. So this is a bit of an advertisement for starting a podcast, and I feel confident doing this because I know a lot of people out there probably will listen to this and won't start a podcast. You'll think about the technical challenges. You'll think about the fact that your voice has to be out there. And Craig and I go over this. There is an element of fear because you're a little bit more intimate with your audience. when you have a podcast. There's a third dimension that gets added, right? When you are just writing a blog post, it's very two-dimensional. Your words out there, you can go back, you can edit it whenever you want. People don't hear your tone or your voice. They don't hear you screw up because you get to go and edit it. And of course, you can edit a podcast, but there's still, it's still you a little bit more real and raw. So I know a lot of people are going to listen to this, not start the podcast, but I'm going to make the pitch to just say, look, if you're trying to build something unique, if you're trying to build something valuable, if you're trying to grow your existing business with an eye towards selling it down the road, there is some value to starting up a podcast, which is going to make it different if you are able to grow a good sizable audience. And I think in the 11 years we've done Quietly Brokerage, I can't think of a single business that we've sold that actually came with a podcast attached to it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had one. And as far as return on investment, I would think that the podcast and the cost associated with it, the ROI would be huge and probably not measurable and invaluable. But one other thing, look, this is, we've got Craig from, you know, the podcast company that manages ours, but we've talked to lots of people like Taz from the Amazon Entrepreneur. He launched his podcast, does 2 a week, and he does it all himself. So it's possible to do it for very little, if nothing at all, if it's a budgetary problem and you still want to get started.
All right. Well, let's hear it directly from somebody who's been in the podcasting niche for a long time, knows a lot of what he's talking about. Craig Hewitt, let's get to it and cover this topic and hopefully inspire maybe one or two of you guys out there to go ahead and start a podcast with your business.
Hello, Craig. Welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, you and I know each other from a ways back at Rhodium. Do you remember? I don't remember when we met each other at Rhodium. Do you?
What year was? Gosh, yeah. I'm optimistic with my time projections these days. I want to say it's 3 years, but it might be 4 years ago. It'll be 4 years in April, probably. Yeah.
Well, my wife does this thing. I call it Megan math, where she'll, something will be 2 months away and she'll somehow compress that down to like just 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Right. Megan math.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Again, full disclosure, and I'm sure I probably said this in the intro. We always do the intros after, record the intros after we record the interviews themselves. But I'm sure I will say this just out of full disclosure. I do pay you professionally. You have been doing the editing, or at least your group has been doing the editing for the Quiet Light Podcast. So thank you for that.
No, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So we're going to talk about podcasting today and whether or not somebody should consider adding it to a business. And I obviously with Quiet Light, I want to focus a little bit on, does it make sense to add on to an acquisition? Like if you buy a business, does it make sense to add that on? What's involved in starting up a podcast? What are the impacts that you might see? And I also want to, if there's time allowing, probably talk about the personalized aspect of podcasts and how that's going to affect the buying and selling of businesses as well. We can also talk a little bit about SaaS. I know you have some SaaS work as well, which could be an interesting thing to get into as well. But let's start off real quick with your background and your history and kind of how you came into doing what you're doing.
Yeah. So we know each other through kind of my first successful online business, and really the way I escaped the rat race of the professional kind of corporate world, which is called Podcast Motor. So Podcast Motor is a productized service that does podcast editing and production, really kind of like end to end, everything from Mark records an episode, sticks it in Dropbox, and an episode shows up in iTunes a week later. And we really try to take care of every aspect of that whole process for our customers. And that business has been going since it just turned 4 this year, so a couple months ago. So we've been doing it a long time in the podcasting world. And we have about 35 customers that we service on a regular basis, so weekly or every other week that they have podcasts come out. About 2 years ago, I acquired a WordPress plugin, also in the podcasting space, called Seriously Simple Podcasting. And on top of that, we built a podcast hosting platform that we now call Castos. So I run two different businesses in the podcasting space. And it all happened just by chance, to be honest. I started a podcast, 4.5 years ago, I guess, and saw really quickly, like a lot of people, that podcasting is really difficult. There's a lot of nuts and bolts and technical stuff and gear and all this junk that you need to start a podcast, as opposed to like a blog where you just get a WordPress site and a keyboard or your iPhone and you can start blogging as good as anybody else. Podcasting, there's technique and gear and equipment and all this stuff that you have to be decent. And then to be really good is a whole nother level. So we started, offering the Podcast Motor service based on me seeing that pain, I guess.
Yeah. And I don't want to scare people right out the gate, but let's get into the kind of the scary different world of podcasting, because it is a little bit different. Let's start with just the hosting side. You talk about Castos, your podcast hosting service. Isn't it enough to just have a regular website? I mean, I think one of the things that was confusing to me with podcasting when we got into it before we started the Quietly podcast was, well, why do I need all this stuff? Why do I need Libsyn? Why do I need all these other things? Why do podcasters use these external services? And what are some of the things that if somebody's thinking about podcasting, what do they need to consider from a technological standpoint outside of the equipment, just from the web hosting setup and the technical setup?
Yeah. So the logic around having a dedicated media hosting platform, you know, you hear Libsyn and SoundCloud and Castos or whatever, the idea there is, you know, so you have a hopefully a very popular podcaster and you have thousands of people downloading your podcast every Tuesday morning when it comes out, right?
Just the like the Quietly podcast, thousands right? upon thousands. And yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So thousands of people listening to your podcast and downloading this 60, 80 megabyte file every Tuesday morning. If you're a business, like all of your customers are, and a lot of ours, the last thing you want is this enormous strain on your web server on Tuesday morning when customers are coming to your site trying to buy your stuff or schedule a meeting or something like that, because both the streaming and download of the podcast will be bad and your website will at least be very slow, if not crash. So you separate the resource strain from podcasting and serving up your website and have a dedicated hosting platform just for those audio files and let your website run on, you know, WP Engine or Flywheel or wherever it's running so that the two aren't using the same resource. That's kind of the logic around why you need a dedicated media hosting platform. It's just like you don't put your video files on there, you use Wistia or something like that. It's the same kind of idea.
Right, exactly. Okay, so there's this whole other technological world with podcasting. Then there's also the equipment side of it. And then there's the editing side of podcasting as well. And then there's the distribution to the different podcast networks. And we're kind of jumping in the deep end. I guess we'll swim to the shallow end because I'm going to talk about this thing, the praises of podcasting here in a little bit. And specifically, as kind of a leading tease here for anyone listening, why I think it's a really, really good idea for any acquisition that you do, any business that you're looking at to potentially acquire, to consider adding a podcast and potentially even on the sell side as well. But let's talk about the setup here a little bit as well and the equipment. I mean, I've got, as you can probably see from the video that you can see, and we do these podcasts over videos, just a little bit more personal.
Yeah,
I've got the Rode Podcaster and I've got like three other mics back there as well. I'm still on the that I absolutely love yet. And everything else. And you got, I see a pop screen on yours. There's pop screens, there's mics, there's the Vulcan power stuff. It's a whole different world, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, so it is a totally different world. And this is the bad, scary thing about podcasting is that there's more opinions and resources out there than are necessary, honestly. And there's so much information that so many people get scared and they go and read five or six different articles just about the best podcasting mic and what web, you know, what podcast hosting platform to use. And there's everyone has an opinion about that. And, you know, how long should your episodes be? And blah, 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 blah. Do you need a pop filter? Do you need a boom mount? Do you need all this stuff? And so actually we created a resource to kind of counteract this and we call it Launch in a Week. And the idea is we're going to give you like one or two options, not like all these million things out there that all these other resources give you is like they create the analysis or paralysis by analysis. So castos.com/launch takes you to Launch in a Week. And we give you like in a week, 7 days, seven emails and videos, exactly what you need to launch a podcast to dispel a lot of the over information and misinformation is out there a little bit like microphones. I only recommend two microphones. You know, it's like this one that I'm using, Audio Technica ATR2100. And another one is called the Shure SM7B. And it's a really, really, really good mic. This one is $65. The other one's about $500. And so it's like kind of whatever you feel like you want or need. But we try to do a lot of that. Like you can do this or this and don't overthink any of it because you can get in way over your head. And the unfortunate thing is a lot of people never get started because they just think so much about all this stuff.
Right, let's talk about that point, because I think this is the biggest obstacle to podcasting, right? With writing a blog, you can put it out there and you can get up and going. Everybody knows how to write something, even if it's not very good, but there doesn't seem to be as much of a barrier to getting started. Maybe it's because of the technical challenge, but I think there's also a mental challenge of getting out there. And I know from a podcast standpoint, you know, we tossed around the idea forever. I actually had a false start at starting the Quiet Late podcast, and I think I recorded 3 episodes, launched 2, and then stopped because I didn't record enough episodes. I think one of the challenges people have is the idea of being out there and trying to get this audio presentation perfect from the get-go. But like you said, just get out there and start. You have to actually start doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of it is with writing, you can write a blog post, save it, come back 2 days later and edit it and tweak it and have it even be published by someone else on your team if you want. Maybe so your name is not associated with it. But like right now, you and I are seeing and talking to each other, you know, and like covering a lot of the senses all at one time. And when you're podcasting, you're literally in someone's ear for 45 minutes every week or whatever it is. So I think it's just the senses that you're covering and the emotional connection you create with somebody, which is why it's so great if you can do it and get it right. But it's also why it's so scary to just get started and overcome some of this like fear of putting yourself out there. You know, I think about, I've done a little bit of video work and it's a lot harder because then you have to get the voice and the physical kind of presentation right the first time. And there's no editing. Like you can't just edit out a flub in a video. Like it looks horrible. So I think in a way, if you're already doing video, podcasting is so easy because you can just cut it up a million ways from Sunday and it's no big deal. But it is so much harder than writing.
Yeah. And I think one of the other obstacles that we run into is written content can be repurposed in so many ways, right? Yeah. And there's different focuses. We can really measure written content from an SEO standpoint. So you can definitely say, hey, I'm going to optimize for this keyword. And I know I'm going to get this keyword density out there. And then I can actually turn this into a downloadable white paper. And I can go out and I can maybe use the same sort of topic and write, you know, 10 different guest posts and get inbound links. So there's that other benefit as well. But you actually lead into one of the benefits, and maybe this would be a good chance to segue into that. And probably the number one reason that we started the Quiet Late podcast and the number one benefit that we received from it is that personal touch that having a podcast creates. I'll tell you a funny story. You'll actually like this because you listen to our podcast by default from doing some editing.
Of course.
And I know you're not doing all the editing yourself, but...
No, I do listen to the show though, yeah.
Okay, well, so there we go. Thank you for that. It makes me feel better. So obviously, Joe and I host the podcast and we were at Brand Builder Summit and somebody came up to our table at Brand Builder Summit and said, hey, is Joe here? I'm like, oh no, Joe's gone right now. They go, oh man, I really wanted to meet Joe. I absolutely love his podcast. I'm thinking, wow, that's great. You love Joe's podcast. I'm so glad that you love Joe's podcast. He goes, yeah, I know. I was really hoping to meet Joe. And Walker was saying right next to me, he goes, no, this is Mark over here. He also does the podcast. He goes, oh, is Joe going to be back soon? I'm like, yeah, Joe will be back soon.
That's wonderful.
But, you know, one of the things that this podcast has been able to do is it gets us in people's cars. It gets us in people's ears for a certain amount of time. And it really breaks down some of that barrier that I think can happen when you're writing. It, like you said, it's very two-dimensional, right? It's the words on the page. You don't have the voice of the person in your head. It's not as full-on as video, but it's a little more personal. And I'm sure you've seen that a ton with what you're doing. Because I know you work mainly with businesses, right?
Yeah. I mean, for Podcast Motor, all of our customers are businesses like yourselves, you know, like small, medium-sized business entrepreneurs, startups. And I think that the medium of podcasting is unique in two ways. One, like we're having right now, it's a conversation. It's not you on a video and your YouTube channel talking and everyone else is listening. You know, that's not so helpful. And it's not so helpful in a very particular way when it comes to businesses, and that is rapport building and networking. And this is like the secret sauce, I think, when it comes to like B2B podcasting is you have this podcast to reach a broader audience of buyers and sellers, of buyers maybe, but really probably to get sellers in the door, right? Mm-hmm. And so like for Podcast Motor, we have a podcast. if we're going to, you know, go kind of strategically think about who we're going to have on the podcast, it's thought leaders in the podcasting, like B2B podcasting space. So that they can say, wow, you know, I had this podcast with Craig last week. We talked for like an hour and he really knows his stuff. Gene, my friend over here who runs a coaching business and wants to start a podcast, should really talk to Craig because he really knows what he's doing and can help her be successful. Like that really like micro networking opportunity that you have in interviewing a thought leader in your space on a podcast is not something you can measure by like download statistics or something like that. But for a lot of people, should be the reason they do a podcast. It's not your listeners that you do the show for. It selfishly a little bit is yourself and the networking ability that the podcasting medium allows for.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. This is one of the main ancillary benefits that we've received from the Quiet Life podcast, right? One of the biggest benefits is that it just keeps us in touch with people.
Yeah.
In a very personal way. And in some ways, it's a little bit weird when people do come up to you and they say, I've been listening to you for, you know, the past several months. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
People actually are listening to my voice. That's weird, but kind of cool at the same time. But that secondary benefit of that micro networking that you talk about, I know we've had this happen. Actually, recently we had Ezra Firestone on the podcast. And sure enough, I opened up my email the other day and there's an email from Ezra promoting his podcast episode with Joe's podcast. And I mean, just think about that. I mean, this is one of the biggest internet marketers out there right now promoting this one episode. And how many extra people are going to be exposed to the business, to us in general, just because of that one episode. So this is definitely a benefit and might not be my number one goal, but it's definitely one of those goals of the podcast is to be out there kind of spreading our network for referrals. I think any referral-based business that's out there, this is a fantastic medium and probably a must that you should do is having some sort of podcast, if for nothing else, to be able to bring in that network and grow that small network.
So just to pile on there a little bit for folks who might be, you know, a little bit outside of the like the agency or consulting world, you know, so like starting from really high dollar and down to more transactional type businesses. The other thing I think that podcasting does that allows you to showcase publicly your knowledge and expertise. So if somebody sees you on another person's podcast, they're going to say, wow, Mark really knows what he's talking about when it comes to buying and selling businesses. Automatically, you know, boost your credibility with that person if they're looking to do this thing down the road. Yeah, I think that's massive. It's kind of like your little online CV that you build along with your social media and YouTube and all this kind of stuff. But podcasting should be a part of that for a lot of people.
Well, and that actually leads to my next question really well. And that is, what do you think about podcasting on the more just B2C side? If somebody's selling baby shoes online.
Yeah.
I mean, how can podcasting fit into that fold with that type of business?
Yeah, I mean, there's really two, in my mind, there's two ways to go. And admittedly, this is a bit outside of the wheelhouse of what we do at Podcast Motor. But there's really two kind of schools of thought or areas that you would run into there. One is just hobbyists, right? And so like, you're a hobbyist, you like the Pittsburgh Penguins, you want to have a podcast about that. That's just a hobby. And that's great. But it also does the thing about like building your social proof in the world. And so you want to go do something with that later on. You have this bank of 200 episodes that you want to do something with. If you're talking about like a B2C area, I think that you can either provide useful content to, you know, you have a show about being a parent, provide useful content to other parents about how to be a good parent and organic parenting and all this kind of stuff. Or you have what's called like sponsored content. And this is where a company would pay a creative agency, like I believe it's Pacific Media is the real big one in this, to create a show like Serial, right? So Serial is the Gimlet Media podcast from a few years ago. They would create a podcast like that. And it would just be, you know, this podcast is brought to you by Huggies Diapers, right? Or something like that. And it's this totally awesome show about parenting and motherhood or whatever, but it's just sponsored by this B2C company. And you see more and more sponsored content out there these days where a business is saying, look, this is a massive branding opportunity for us. We're going to create this piece of content that we know our audience will love. Probably doesn't have a lot of like direct business impact. People are not going to go buy our diapers because of this podcast, but they're going to know our name really well because every week the show they love the most has our name all over it.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. I also think of the episode we did with Mike Jackness from colorit.com.
And the show was on email marketing, so it had nothing to do with podcasting, but we were talking about how often he was sending emails. They were sending emails to their subscribers every single day. But wow. The vast majority of what they're sending is ridiculously useful content that is not selling their clients in any way, their customers in any way. And the result of this is that people end up looking forward to communications from them. So yeah. I can imagine that impact as well. If you have a B2C company and you're in this hobbyist niche, or you really have a very unified sort of product that you're selling, or it can even be a type of service as well, you're growing an audience that is kind of a group of raving fans for what you're doing, and you're offering so much value that when you do offer that sale, when you do go out there and promote something, you have this group out there that's just super excited to hear from you. And that's a nice problem to have, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little bit about this from an acquisition standpoint. Obviously, we should bring this back into this. And I want to talk about from an acquisition standpoint and also selling. And we'll end with the selling question, because I think there is a pretty significant question there. But on the acquisition side, the one struggle I can see, I did an acquisition recently. I guess that's almost 2 years ago now. And
it's that funny math coming back in there.
Yeah, that's coming back in. Absolutely. Time flies too. And you and I have actually talked about me starting up a podcast on this acquisition. It's a little bit weird though. You know, like Quietly Brokerage, I've kind of grown with it. So I feel like I own it. It's a little bit weird to start a podcast with something that you don't own. But I wonder if there's almost a sense of growing ownership if you start building something on top of that, like a podcast with an acquisition.
Hmm.
Kind of an open-ended thought, but I don't know if you've had any experience with that or any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, so we'd not run into this personally, like with some of our customers having acquired businesses that they then want to start a podcast around. But having acquired several businesses, the one thing that I think is really important and oftentimes really difficult is for an acquirer to really know the business model and the types of people that kind of live and breathe this product or space that you're in. And there is nothing better than to say, I'm going to go interview the 50 best people in Instagram for kids, whatever niche it is, you know, than a podcast.
Instagram for kids sounds like it should have some predatory laws about it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, sure. But it's whatever it is, right? It's underwater basket weaving. I'm going to go interview the 50 best people underwater basket weaving. You're going to know basically everything there is to know about the influencers and the things that really matter to people in that business. So for me, as like someone who is always looking to acquire businesses and kind of dabbling as like a serial entrepreneur, if I was going to get into a business I didn't know a lot about, starting a blog or really continuing a blog would be really daunting, because there's a lot of opportunity to waste a bunch of time and money there. You can write a bunch of articles about things people don't care about, but it's really hard to have a podcast that's bad, if you will, in a space you don't know a lot about, because you just go interview people and ask them interesting questions. And what they have to say is the content. It's not what you have to say. It's what the people you have coming on your show have to say. So I'd say for people looking to or who have acquired a business that might be a little out of their wheelhouse, just start a podcast, interview the thought leaders from that space, and you have like the nexus of all the really interesting content for your audience. And you as the new owner know exactly what's so important to everybody in that space.
Yeah, and I'm going to compare this actually to the blogging world, because I went from the blogging world pretty heavily into the podcasting world almost exclusively. Now, Libby has been writing blog posts on every one of our podcast episodes so that we can keep up with our blog content. But in the blogging world, right, you would have to sit down, you would have to come up with your idea for a blog topic, you would have to research that topic, and then you would have to write on that topic. And the way yep. blogs are going, you have to write more and more and more. I was writing 1,500 to 2,500 word blog posts. I was doing 4 of those per month, plus 4, you know, outside of Quiet Life blog posts per month. So I was doing 8 blog posts, on average, 2,000 words a piece. And then best practice says, after you publish that blog post, you should go out and you should do outreach. So you should reach out to the influencers and say, hey, take a look at this. And how easy is it for an influencer to ignore your email or give it a cursory look? Now flip this around. For this, I'm doing my research right now on this interview with you. I'm reaching out to you, and you're an influencer in the podcasting world. So I've already got my influencer locked in as well. And we're getting great content at the same time. It kind of brings all of this into one, hopefully easily digestible format. So that's a huge benefit, I think, as well. And when you're looking at getting into a space, like you said,
trying to network and get to know the influencers in a space that you don't know is one of the biggest challenges. And having a podcast, I'll tell you what, when I ask people to be on the podcast, I get one of two reactions. One is, no, I'm super shy. I don't want to do it. And two is, yeah, that sounds great, because who doesn't want to be in front of a big audience and get heard? People like to be on podcasts. They like to think that they're important enough to be interviewed.
They want to think they're Joe Rogan.
Exactly. Even though, you know, I'm not going to tell them that there's like three people that listen to the Quiet Life podcast, but they're still, you know, excited.
So you brought up two things I really want to touch on quickly. One is, you know, three people listening to the Quiet Life podcast. One, it's not true, right? But in a B2B sense, and even a B2C sense in your niche, the number of people listening to your show doesn't matter at all. So if you have 100 people listening to your podcast, that is great. Those are 100 really passionate people about what you have to say, as opposed to 100 people reading a blog post that has almost no impact, whatever. You need tens of thousands of people reading a blog post for it to really be impactful in the greater sense. But 100 people in your niche listening to your podcast is fantastic, because they're really high intent people for whatever your business purpose is. The other thing is talking about repurposing content. I think podcasting has the ability to repurpose content really easily, right? We're doing audio, we're doing video. It'll be created into show notes for a blog post. You can have it transcribed. You can syndicate the video to YouTube. Like, you can do all of these things with one, what we're going to talk for 45 minutes today, piece of investment in your time. And you have a team or someone do all of the extra work to produce all of it for you. And you have two or three or four pieces of content you can syndicate to everywhere that people consume this media. As opposed to writing a blog post, it can only ever be in your blog. You can't go create a podcast out of a blog post. Well, you could, but that's just kind of silly.
Right. And you're absolutely right as far as the repurposing content. Again, if people haven't checked out, and a quick plug, the Quiet Light Brokerage blog, I think it was last fall, we brought on Libby Dickerson, and she listens to every one of these podcasts. Hi, Libby. Thanks for all the work you're doing. And she's putting together awesome blog posts. Like, I've been reading these myself, and she's taking the information that we're picking up in the podcasts, but then she's going out and supplementing it with outside research as well, and putting together a full-on blog post with quotes from the blog post as well, but bringing on a slightly different narrative than what we cover in this conversation. It's a great way to be able to repurpose this content and give it just a little extra layer and a little extra dimension. And so that is one way to repurpose the content. And again, I can't emphasize this enough. The amount of time it takes to do a podcast is significantly less time than it takes to do the blogging side. Let's address the question of a podcast in a business that you hope to sell someday. And I think this is a question that is a little bit more difficult to answer here, because I mean, we talk a lot. Let me ask you this. Have you seen The Princess Bride?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I have an 8-year-old daughter. Yep.
Well, I always like to say that getting a business prepared to sell is you have to follow the Dread Pirate Roberts rule, right? You don't want to be the actual Dread Pirate Roberts. It's the name that counts, right? That's the quote from the movie. It's the name that counts. The actual Dread Pirate Roberts has been retired and living like a king in Patagonia. That's what we want to be able to do. We want to pass on the name of our business. We don't want to actually have to be tied to the business. Well, we just talked about podcasting. It's being in somebody's ear and being that personality in somebody's ear. And so from a standpoint of selling, maybe it's a little bit of a disadvantage on that when you go to sell. But I don't think it has to be a disadvantage. But I'm going to put you in the uncomfortable spot here and see, first, have you thought about this much, and what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, so I guess two things. One, I know that podcasts themselves have definitely been bought and sold more and more, right? You know, we're here recording this at the beginning of 2019. You hear more and more about people selling and buying podcasts, especially in a space. It's like buying and selling a blog in a space. If you're a business, you acquire this blog, redirect it, and import your content into your domain, and you already have this, you know, this audience that's seeing your brand. The same can be said for podcasting. So people want to come in and buy a podcast in a space because it has a built-in audience. I think that's a really good kind of audience and customer acquisition strategy. For a business that already kind of exists and has their own podcast, to look at selling the business and transferring the podcast to the new owner, I think that a lot of the standard knowledge and business process transfer things apply there. Like, if you have a process around, Mark, how you identify the guests that you want to have on, how you invite them, and you send them a Calendly link, and it has a Zoom thing in it, and you have an outline you send them 3 days before, and all this kind of stuff, and you have a team behind to edit and produce the podcast, then someone buying your business that has a podcast in it is not nearly as daunting as just saying, like, I wing it every week. And the new owner saying, holy crap, I can't imagine, you know, doing that. So I think that, I mean, the truth is a podcast is not really hard, right? Like once you do a couple of them, it's not really that hard. So giving the buyer of the business that would acquire this asset, but kind of responsibility of a podcast, give them the tools to be successful. And I think it's definitely a net win. The worst thing I can see, though, is you have a podcast, you have an audience and people that really enjoy and want to connect with you through the podcast, and the acquirer comes in and drops the ball. Obviously, a big negative. So if people have podcasts and they're going to be selling their business or business with podcasts, I would definitely, you know, make sure, like the rest of the business, like you said, with the Dread Pirate Roberts thing, it's like, make sure that it's totally transferable and that the person can be successful. The intimate nature of the podcast, I think, can transfer from one person to another pretty easily. You know, the new person's going to have some level of domain expertise. Maybe they'll have a different spin on the podcast, and that's cool. But yeah, I think it's definitely a net win as long as the person is set up to be successful.
Yeah, and I would agree. And the other thing I would point to is that when talking about an exit strategy, when looking at what you need to do to prepare a business for sale, there's going to be this push and this pull on various factors of the business. And when you're looking at this, when you're looking at the business holistically, it's always going to be better for you to build a strong, loyal, happy, faithful audience, right? Yeah. That's way, way more valuable than anything else. And is there maybe a little bit of a demerit when it comes to having something like a podcast, which would be tied to your voice? Yeah. Okay. I think there's going to be a little bit of concern about the transferability, but that can be addressed, right? That can be addressed pretty easily. You can agree to do the podcast and co-host with a new owner for 6 months and have a very warm handoff that way. That would be a very natural way to do it. I think the benefits that a podcast adds in building an audience. Let's think about this real quick here. What is the value of an online business when we actually look at it and when we do all the tax returns and everything else on it? We allocate most of the purchase price towards goodwill, the sort of nebulous who knows what it is that makes this business successful. And having a podcast is really a big part of building our goodwill. So if you take the time and build a lot of goodwill through a podcast, and that's a good source and driving avenue for customer acquisition within your business, that's going to be a net plus in the grand scheme of things. So I think people that are out there thinking about podcasts and thinking, well, I don't want to start that because it's going to hurt the transferability of the business, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I wouldn't necessarily say don't do it. In fact, I would probably say the opposite, especially if you have enough time. If you're looking at a year, 2, 3 years before selling, and you're able to build that audience, I think it actually makes more sense because it's really hard to replicate that. And
yeah, the value you get in those 2 years is so much more than the potential drawback of the new owner flubbing it and your audience being upset, which is basically the worst thing that could happen, right?
You're totally biased on this, but I'm going to ask you this question right now. If I could give you a business with 30,000 email subscribers or a business with 15,000 podcast listeners, what would you take?
Yeah, I mean, the podcast listeners are going to engage with your message a lot more. You probably also would get all of them on an email list. So you're already halfway there to having both. But I mean, you're literally, I mean, we say it all the time, you're literally in someone's ear creating like some kind of like different neural connection with those people. I get your email. I read your emails. Fine. I hear you on the podcast. And I hear you talking about your kids and the Dread Pirate Roberts and all this kind of stuff that like has a different level of meaning. And it is that personal stuff that in a situation where you're going to be transferring it to a new owner is a little different. But for the time that you have the business or you're looking at acquiring a business that has a podcast, it is a huge benefit because a lot of people are scared, right? You didn't start the podcast for some period of time, probably because you were like, I don't know, this is an onerous task. I don't know if I'm up for it, right? I mean, maybe I did, sure. Like I didn't start a podcast because I was like, I'm not going to talk into a microphone and then put it out on the internet for anyone who wants to hear it to hear, because I sound like an idiot, right? Like, you know, like a lot of people don't like the sound of their voice. And I don't know, you just have to get over all that stuff because the net is such a huge win.
Yeah.
Think about like you go to conferences now and like, oh yeah, Mark, I heard you on the podcast, right?
Right. Well, and it was a conference question that actually led us to do the podcast, because we've been going to so many conferences. And conferences are expensive. You have to fly out there for sponsoring. I mean, the sponsorship fees are ridiculously high. And but the benefit of being there in front of somebody and having those little jokes here and there, or, you know, if we're displaying, we'll play a game. We've done golf, we've done Jenga, we've done darts, or something like darts was not actually sharp objects that we're throwing at our booth, but that'd be dangerous. They wouldn't let us do that. But that actual physical presence being there, it really relaxed people so much more and allowed us to connect on more of a one-on-one basis. And that's why we started the podcast. And sure enough, I think that happened. Given that choice between email list and podcast, I would take the podcast audience as well. I think you can mobilize a podcast audience much faster. I think they're more engaged. I think they're more likely to quite literally listen to you, but be more attentive to what you're saying. I think it's just different. It's kind of a feel.
You know, I'd say like the one, look at guys like, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, right? Or Pat Flynn or whoever that you look up to in the business and marketing world. They all have podcasts, right? So like that says something, I think. The other thing is the volume of information that we're relaying in this episode is massive, right? Like, you know, we transcribe episodes for customers at podcasts, and a typical, you know, 45-minute conversation is about 15 pages in a Google Doc. So wow. You think about like, how are you going to relay 15 pages of content to anybody ever? Yeah, it's impossible, right? No one is ever going to read that blog post or email, but they'll listen to that podcast every week.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I have our director of content marketing now, Chris Moore, who also listens to the podcast. Hey, Chris, how you doing? He's been going back through every one of our podcasts and pulling out quotes. And he was telling me just earlier this week about how much volume is there that we put together in what feels like a very short amount of time of doing this podcast. It is a ton of information.
Something, a bit of a carrot, I think, for both the buy and sell side, you know, of your audiences. You can bet your bottom that Google will be indexing audio very soon.
That's a really nice tease.
Oh, you know, the SEO impact of podcasting, da 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 da. You're going to create like show notes that are like 700 words or whatever for an hour long conversation. 100% guarantee that there will be an audio tab in Google, whatever, soon, in the next couple of years.
Yeah. All right. So let's do this. We're almost up with our time. I want to end up with, what does somebody need at a bare minimum if they want to test a podcast for their business? How long? We don't have to get into the details of the equipment. Like, we don't. I mean, you already gave a couple of recommendations there. And what are the basic things they should think about if they want to get it and test it out for, say, 2 or 3 months? And how long should they test it?
Yeah. So I think that the basics, you need a microphone. I mentioned the two microphones before. If you really just want to test, use the Apple earbuds. They're actually quite good.
They are actually. Yes, I'll second that actually. Yeah.
Get in a quiet place. Don't have your kids running around or the train going by with the window open or something like that. Do some kind of environmental safety measures for the sound quality. You need something to record and edit the audio with. A tool that does both of those is called Audacity. It's open source and free and cross-platform, so Windows or Mac. So you can record and edit with Audacity. Something to record with, so like a microphone or the Apple earbuds, perfectly good. And then you probably want something to store the files on. So like a podcast hosting platform like Acastos or Libsyn or SoundCloud. And then you need to create what's called an RSS feed. And that is the thing that places like iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify read and then share information about your podcast, like as a whole, like the title and description and image and all that kind of stuff, and about each episode. That's kind of how podcasting works, is you submit this RSS feed to these directories and the directories read the meta information about your show, as well as information about each episode as it's published. So I mean, that's kind of the 20,000 foot view of podcasting. How many episodes? I think if you can't come up with 20 good guest interview or topics to cover or something like that, then you have a couple of problems, but you probably shouldn't get into content generally. But you really, really, really need to think about at least having a couple of episodes to launch with, 2, 3, 4, something like that. But you really should have a general idea of what the first 20 episodes is going to look like.
Yeah. And I recommend actually recording probably about 2 months worth just to start. If you're running a business as well, I know like the reason my first go with Quiet Light Podcast didn't really happen is I recorded 3 episodes and then I got busy and 3 weeks goes by really, really fast. And we do this here at Quiet Light. We will get like a nice buffer of about 2 months. The next thing you know, we're staring down an empty set again of episodes. So get a nice buffer set up for that first trial and see what happens. It's a great medium, and I'm going to do a plug for you, just so that you don't have to come across as self-promotional. Honestly, your service makes this whole thing dead simple. Like, I don't think about it at all. I don't think about what I'm doing. The only thing I thought about was, what sort of graphic are we going to use for the podcast? Outside of that, everything was set up, everything was done, the introduction was done. It makes it really, really simple. And so if you are looking to go this direction, don't add a bunch more to your plate. Go out, talk to Podcast Motor. Can't recommend your guys' service highly enough.
Cool. Thanks so much. That's great to hear.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. If you guys have questions, feel free to reach out to Craig at Podcast Motor. We'll put contact information in the show notes. And yeah, if you have any other questions or suggestions for podcast episodes, send me an email, mark@quietlightbrokerage.com. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Quiet Light Podcast. For more resources from this episode, head over to quietlightbrokerage.com. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in iTunes. This helps share the messages from the show with more business owners like you.